Psalm 69, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and let not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of the God with a song, of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock or that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and for it in a possession, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein.
Thank you. You can keep your Bible open to that passage. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. However, I saw there's an extra hymnal up here. I'm going to go check and see if perchance that song's in it. I do not expect it to be because I had to look in a couple different books till I found it, but I'd love to be wrong. But I'm not. And so that's Abraham hoped against hope, but his hope came through. Mine didn't. All right, Psalm 69, verse 30 is our text. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This is a great text for Thanksgiving. I'm sure This is not the first time that it is being used for a Thanksgiving service message. But what does it mean? I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Those words are in themselves not hard to understand, but obviously we look at a verse within its context. I have here a United States postage stamp with an image of a bobcat. Happens to be what's on this one. And some of the details, as is true on a postage stamp, are very fine and quite small. Here on my other hand, I have a magnifying glass. And when I use it on this stamp, the fine features of the stamp become much clearer according to how I position the stamp or the magnifying glass. And they're clearer and easier to be seen. Now, what does the magnifying glass do to the stamp? It does not create any change to the stamp. It does not add anything to the artist's work or alter any part of the stamp. Rather, the magnifying glass enables me to see what is already there, but to see it more adequately and more accurately. And that's when we talk about magnifying the master, what our lives should do. It won't change him. It won't add anything. But it should enable people to see him clearer and more adequately. Father in heaven, I pray that as we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, that your Spirit will magnify to us the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to understand how we are to magnify the Master. This I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to look first of all at the method of magnifying that's spoken of in this psalm. And in verse 30, our text, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song. Singing is clearly one method of praising God. There are other manner of praising God, but singing is one method of praising God. No clarification or limitation is given as to one's ability to sing. Just a simple, basic statement to praise God with a song. And I believe our singing does that. Not only our singing as a group in the congregation, not only the singing that an individual or two or three that would form a trio or duet or something provide, but when you're alone in your car, whether you're listening to a CD or something on the radio, or you just sing because a song comes to you, that's offering praise to God. You say, well, nobody's there to hear it. God is. And remember, he's the one that we're singing to bring praise to. And so the psalmist goes on to add to magnify him with thanksgiving. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Singing praises him. And when we offer thanksgiving, it magnifies him. It doesn't change him, but it makes him clearer and more adequately to be seen. and we'll understand how that is as we look at this psalm. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Three different kinds of singing. Psalms, okay? The psalms, we know that the nation of Israel, they used the psalms as their song book. But then it talks about hymns. And then it talks about spiritual songs. And that I'm not sure what they were back in Paul's day, but I believe they would be descriptive of the songs we use out of our hymnal. Hymns and spiritual songs, I think of them as what often are referred to as gospel songs. I know the gospel can be in a hymn that's in our book. Hopefully it would be. But there are gospel songs that you might have a well-liked group that you listen to, and they sing songs. They aren't hymns. They definitely aren't the psalms, but they are gospel songs. And we're told here by Paul to the Ephesians and down through the ages to us, speaking to ourselves. This is self-edification, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a heart matter, okay? It's a heart matter. Others may hear it and get blessed, but it's not for others. It's for ourselves, speaking to yourselves. Giving, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like David said that they were to sing and give thanks, so here Paul repeats that same instruction that we're to sing and we're also to give thanks. Now, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and families gather, if not tomorrow, maybe another day of the weekend, and they'll gather as a family, and they'll express various things, okay? And I like the way Pastor put it. I forget exactly how he did, but he referred to the pilgrims, you know, they came over and they gave thanks for the turkeys and the corn and NFL. And so I realize that tomorrow that'll be a big part of various sports events that people like to watch, okay? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but there is something wrong if we forget to thank God for what he gave us, okay? That's the important thing, to thank God for what he gave us. There's various family traditions that people have, different ones in your home than in perhaps my home or another's home. But there are family traditions. Those family traditions are not wrong unless they push out God, unless they exclude God, unless they take away the importance of what we're to be thankful for. And this is a national holiday. Now, many places, as we're seeing here in Psalms, and we looked at in Ephesians, we're told to give thanks and thank, but that isn't the thanks of our national Thanksgiving Day. This is a national day in the United States of America. I don't know what other countries may have comparable. I'm sure there are some that don't have anything comparable. But that's okay. We don't live other places. We live here. And it's okay to have a national holiday. And as Christians, we need to bring the focus of that to include our Savior. And in our case, knowing the history of our nation, I truly believe we would not have the nation we have if it were not for the God that we have. I believe that the national significance of Thanksgiving involves the significance of what our forefathers gave to the place of not just God, but Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of people talk about God, and that's almost, it's a big G God maybe, but it's generic, okay? God just sort of encompasses everything. But boy, when you get very specific and you start saying God, the Lord Jesus Christ, now you're getting really Christian, you see? Because a lot of religions talk about God. Now I realize when they talk about God, it's not necessarily the God of the Bible. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ, now you're narrowing it down to something very specific. And tomorrow when we sit around our table and enjoy turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and corn and green beans and whatever else is there, okay? Now, Mrs. Hayne isn't going to be making that, all right? We've got two of our daughters that'll be there. But we're going to enjoy that. And it will cause us to remember that we have that blessing because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And so the psalmist goes on to add in this verse 30 that we're to magnify him with thanksgiving. When we thank God for all that he's done for us, you have a home you live in, a house, you have a bed you sleep in, maybe you sleep on a sofa, okay, that's your bed, okay? You did you walk here tonight or did you drive? Oh, you came in a car. These are all things to thank God for. You say, well, my neighbor, he's not a Christian and he has those things. Yeah, but he doesn't thank God for them. And we should be thanking God for them. And and this Thanksgiving is not limited to musical things, but it's an expression of the heart. And that's exactly what Paul said in Ephesians 5. He said, with the heart, we're to sing psalms and hymns and gospel songs. But why the method of thanksgiving to praise God and to magnify the Master? Well, the rest of the psalm throws some light on that matter. First of all, true thanksgiving makes clear the details of our condition. All right? When we thank God, it helps to focus, okay? Doesn't change things, but it helps to magnify. It helps to see more clearly the details of our condition. Look at verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. And so it reveals the crisis condition of the psalmist, David's life. Look at verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire. He talked about the mire in verse 1 as well. And deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. Ah, now we begin to see. You see, he's not really worried about water like you get out of your tap. He's not worried about that kind of water overflowing him. And when he talks about mire, the muck and the mud and the mire, okay, he's not worried about the actual literal physical mire. But he's using that to describe his emotional and spiritual state at this time. And he says in verse 15, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Oh, what is all of this? This is them, verse 14, them that hate me. I don't know what your overwhelming flood may be. It may be a person. It may be a financial situation. It may be just an emotional insecurity that you have. All right? There's various things that can overwhelm us. And that's where David is at here. Now in verse 14 and 15, he makes clear of what his condition is. Helpless and hopeless. And that can be true of each one of us. And it may not be tonight, but it may have been in the past. And if that's not been true of you in the past or tonight, hang on, because it'll likely happen in the future. Okay? It's just a way of life that we can feel helpless and hopeless. And perhaps if we were to remember our life before salvation, God forbid that we'd relive the misery and the anguish of that hopeless life. But if we did, perhaps we would magnify our Master better, because it would help us to be reminded from what He has forgiven us and from what He has saved us. And it's Thanksgiving helps to focus, magnify what Jesus Christ has done for us. But secondly, true Thanksgiving, not only Thanksgiving tomorrow at the dinner table, but Thanksgiving of spiritual life and relationship to God through Jesus, true Thanksgiving shows clearly the details of God's power. Look at verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I'm about ready to be drowned. And then in verse 13, we see his trust in God. But, okay, I'm going to read the two together. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation. And look at verse 17, another plea. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Have you ever prayed like that to God? Maybe not those words, but prayed with that spirit. It seems like God's gone away from you. It seems like God's not listening. David said, hide not thy face. He felt God was hiding himself from him. David, the man after God's own heart, the one that God made king of Israel, at one point, this point, he felt that God was hiding from him. For I am in trouble. Don't hide from me, God. I'm in trouble. I need you now. Hear me speedily. Don't delay. Now look at verse 29. Because in verse 29 he says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. That was his hope. He knew that's what God could do. And as we know David, and as we read other of the Psalms, we realize that's where his trust was. That's where his hope was. And that's where ours needs to be. Now listen, when you're in the pit of despair, when you're struggling with something that is overwhelming you, it seems like a flood that's going to drown you, go to the book of Psalms. And open up in the Psalms. And read the Psalms, excuse me. And read the Psalms. Here David says, those that hate me. Your situation and your problem may not be somebody that hates you. Let's say it's finances. Now when you're reading it, You just, when you read that psalm, you read, instead of where it says, those that hate me, you say, Lord, those, the mess I got myself in financially. You see? That's how we can personalize the psalms. And there's different conditions that David dealt with, and you have different conditions. So when you read the psalms, you read your need into what David expressed. And that's how God will speak to you. Because you know you're not going to find a Bible verse with your problem in it. And so we just pray. We keep praying and we keep hoping. We keep expecting something will happen. Something will change. And is it our faith that brings change? Or do the circumstances just happen to change? And then we read on to those circumstances that happen to change. Oh, this must have been what God did. Well, it might be. But then again, remember your unsaved neighbor? His circumstances change. And he's all happy now that things are different. But you see, we're different in that we, here it is, this is the key, we start out with God. We don't just get to God when nothing else seems to work. We don't just introduce God when we are about to get overwhelmed. We start with God and expect Him to be working from the beginning. You say, I don't always feel that way. Well, welcome to the club. But that's a good starting point. When you start, you say, Lord, I've got a problem. You know what it is, and I know what it is. And I need you, and I want to focus on you. But I'm not there yet. Go ahead, admit it to God. I mean, He knows it, doesn't He? He already knows it. You may as well admit it. And in the very act of admitting it is where you are taking a step in putting your trust in God to deal with it. It's wonderful to hear somebody stand up and give a testimony of how God worked in their life in the past. Okay? And we, oh boy, that's encouraging. That's what I need. But if we want to get to where they got, we have got to start out with God. And so I can't stress that enough. And so in verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him. Ooh. You see, by starting out with God in my problem, I'm going to magnify Him. I'm going to put Him where He belongs. Oh, it's so nice to read. Where is it there? Is it in Matthew 5? 7? Somewhere in around there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know when we pray that? When we want a bunch of things to be added unto us. But how about here? When we're dealing with an overwhelming problem that's about to do us in, let's seek Him first. Amen. And His righteousness. That's what we need to do. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I'm going to magnify Him with thanksgiving. We've all heard our pastor preach to us already how when nothing's going the way it ought to go, when everything's going the way it shouldn't go and all of that, thank God. Amen. Try praising God. Now I'm going to get inside of you. I'm going to be your mind. I don't feel like praising God. I don't feel like thanking God. I'd rather have a little bit of a pity party. And then after I get convicted enough about that, I'll forsake it. And then I'll come back and I'll start praising God. No. What Pastor has told us is we need to start out praising God. When we've got situations, there's times where fasting isn't going to make the difference. Oh, it's going to make a difference maybe in your weight, but it ain't going to make a difference. It ain't going to make a difference in your situation. Because fasting is for fasting problems. And praise is for praising problems. And therefore, there's times where what we need is, well, how do I know which one to do? Well, whichever one doesn't work, leave it and go get another one. All right? If you want to fast, go ahead and fast. If that doesn't bring a change, well, then try praising God. See if that brings a change. You say, well, that didn't bring a change either. Well, then try thanking God. One of them's got to work. You say, well, what kind of a spiritual approach is that? Apparently better than the one you've got. Huh? Yeah. I mean, they're all there. You got to find the right tool for the problem. John Mark here, he got that nice new truck. Boy, that's a nice new truck. Shiny. Well, not anymore. He had it for a while. But he's got all kinds of tools in it. But he's got to get the right tool out of those toolboxes for the job that he's working on. Just because he has a bunch of tools, no, he's got to pick the right one to do what he's doing. Now, that's just common sense, isn't it? And that's the same way with the Christian life and living. Sometimes it's fasting. Sometimes it's praising. Sometimes it's thanking him. Sometimes it's singing. I don't like to sing. What, did I hear somebody say that? Or was that me? Just different things that we can do to magnify the Savior. Now, we looked at the method of magnifying, singing and thanksgiving. And we're going to look now at the value of magnifying. Why does the psalmist claim that praise and thanksgiving is better than a sacrifice? Okay. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song and with magnifying with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. Now see, God gave the instruction for the animal sacrifices. So nothing wrong with them. They have their place. But here's a situation where the sacrifice of singing and thanksgiving is better than the other one. So, you see, this is what we realize sometimes that we have. One thing may be better to deal with a situation than another. Now, you think to yourself, David knew the instruction of animal sacrifices, the purposes and how it worked, but here we find out that he says that it's better than those animal sacrifices is this praise, this singing, this magnifying through thanksgiving. Now, how could that be better? Knowing what God instructed regarding the animal sacrifices, and some of you have studied the sacrifices and understand what those sacrifices all mean. But you see, the animal had no understanding of being at the altar. But we do. And we not only have an understanding of what we're doing when we come to the altar of sacrifice through praise, the Holy Spirit enlightens us to God's greatness, and the gratitude then flows from us. And the thanksgiving for the Christian's heart is better than an animal sacrifice. Now you see, that's not as important to us because we've never made animal sacrifices. But if you've studied the Old Testament, and some of you have, you've studied the sacrifices, you've studied the tabernacle, you know what all of that's about. You know how important that is, and was, that is, to God. But he's taken that and he's replaced it with a song of praise from our heart. And it's better than an animal sacrifice because it represents voluntary giving. When I come and make a sacrifice of singing, of magnifying, of thanksgiving, I do it voluntarily. I don't do it because I'm forced to do it. I do it voluntarily. That animal, when it was brought to be sacrificed, once it smelled the blood, once it smelled the burning of carcasses, can you imagine that that animal just docilely, you know, doop, 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 here I am to be killed? No, they probably had to grab hold of that animal. And they didn't have stun guns back in their day, so they had to manhandle them. And that sacrifice was not always voluntary by the animal. But ours is indeed to be voluntary. A strong spring, back where we lived over in Shingle House on Coon Crossing Road, many of you have been there. Ever since I lived there, I always measured things in blocks, in city blocks. I'm the only person that I know that lived in the country and measured things by city blocks. I knew what a city block was. I had that concept in my head. I did not have the concept of a quarter mile, okay, or an eighth mile. And so about a half block before the parsonage, on the right was a spring. Many people from town would come out there and fill up their water jugs from that spring. Now, in the winter, and you know where there's water springs like that around here. And in the wintertime, the water that bubbled out, it hit the rocks and all it did freeze. But the water, it never froze. That water, that spring, it never froze. Where it went froze, but not the water itself. And so it was powerful. And listen, you and I need ourselves to be certain that we have a voluntary bubbling up, that water that Jesus said would be in our belly bubbling up. We need to be sure that it continues to flow and we don't let it get frozen out. Okay, unlike that water spring, okay, we sometimes can let things get frozen out. We can allow circumstances to cause things to change, and we ought not to do that. And so our circumstances shouldn't be able to freeze out God, shouldn't stop our thankfulness. And then lastly, and we have the results of magnifying the Savior. We had the method of magnifying him with song and thanksgiving, and then we saw the value of being a willing sacrifice, voluntarily made to God, and now the results of magnifying. The psalmist purposely chose this method of magnifying the Master. He deliberately presented a contrast between the sacrifice of an ox and the willing sacrifices of praise. Oh, hey, let's go to Hebrews, all right? Now, I have it marked, and I know you'll have to find it, so I'll give you some time. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, where it talks about this matter of choosing a willing sacrifice. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to his name. Now, the results of magnifying the Master can be seen in verse 31. I'm going back to Psalm 69. And the results of this it can be seen in verse 31 and 32. This also shall please the Lord. So there's one result, pleases the Lord. Better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this. So it's an open testimony when people hear us praising God and thanking God. Right in the midst of all of the mess I got, I'm praising God. You see, we have to start out with God, because what will happen is we'll get overwhelmed by that. We'll confess our failure to have put him first, and then we'll get things right back in shape for ourselves, but the humble won't see it along the way. So they need to be able to see it from the very beginning. When everything would seemingly be against us, we have got to be able, and only God can help us do this, we have got to be able to glorify God from the beginning. Now, this is a situation I don't like. I wouldn't choose this, but God is allowing this, and I don't understand why, but you know, God is good, and I'm just going to praise him. That needs to be us from the beginning, not halfway through an experience, but from the beginning. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Start out in your overwhelming flood. Start out like this, and your heart shall live, because you will have sought God. Now listen, I know this sort of thing is easy to preach and difficult to live. But is it there? Is it in the book? If it is, it's possible. And you can do it. God will enable you to do it. He says, the humble shall see it there and be glad, and your heart shall live. Live. Live in such a way as to magnify the Savior. Now, it won't change the stamp. It won't change your situation, but it'll make you to see him more clearly. All right, we're going to close by singing page 148. Yes.